May the words of my mouth, the meditation of my heart, be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. This is John chapter 14, verse 12. Truly, truly, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he shall do also. And greater works than these shall he do, because I go to the Father. And whatever you ask in my name. Now listen to this verses again. And what he promises, what he declares, and then what he promises, the favor. Truly, truly, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he shall do also. And greater works than these shall he do, because I go to the Father, and whatever you ask in my name, in the context of doing greater works, whatever you ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in me. If you ask anything of me in my name, I will do it. Now, I think there's three more times, this is part of the Upper Room Discourse, or three more times when that same statement is made, where Jesus says, if you'll ask anything in my name, it will be done. Those are remarkable promises to me that for years when I read them, I would just sort of read past them because they seem so abstract to my experience, or really anybody's experience that I knew, that it was just there. They were like fillers. I knew it was Bible, but it was just a filler. And I didn't want to pause too long because it would make me introspective and guilty. Well, things like that are never meant to make you introspective or guilty. They are meant to make you, introspective and curious so that you begin the pursuit of discovery, but never condemnation. But as years went on, I finally came to see these as, this is the plumb line, one of those plumb lines that I'm to adjust to instead of trying to adjust it down to my experience. That this is what God offers in my relationship with Christ. Amazing favor. And what our thinking would be, we're doing Galatians on Wednesday night, so I'm all consumed with Galatians, and that will be so for a while, or the truth there. But the whole issue of law versus grace that Paul is discussing in Galatians is that people who live under the law still think they have to somehow perfect themselves, perfect their spirituality, so that they posture themselves for favor. But grace says, Jesus has perfected everything at the cross, and therefore he's postured you before God as a free gift for favor. It's a huge difference. Because how many of us think, how much do I have to get my act together to finally get to the place where these verses can be true about me? Well, remember who he's telling this to. The boys. One of the leaders going to deny him three times within 24 hours. Every one of them fled at the cross. John at some point came back to the cross. So they all denied him in that sense. Jesus said, you'll all leave me, abandon me. They were just guys, people like us. And that's who he's speaking to. So it's not for a super deluxe model. He's talking about when he goes to the Father, because at that point, when he pours out his Spirit, we'll be in Christ. And so this definition that we've been giving in the last week or so, that we're going to make sure we keep doing for CTKers, we've got to make sure our Sunday morning crowd gets it, our live stream crowd, the live stream church of Christ the King gets it, that the gospel of grace is this, is that because of the finished work of Christ on the cross, we have been included into the life that Jesus lives and the favor that Jesus lives under. Because of the finished work of the cross, our inclusion into the life that Jesus lives now on earth through our bodies and the favor he lives under, there could be no other explanation. To do something in Jesus' name is to say, I'm approaching you, Father, in union with him, as if I were him. And so I would think that we would be able to say about Jesus, Everything he asked the Father to do, the Father did. Amen? Well, he says in his name, the same thing can be for us. But we get so content and so spiritually lazy and content with less than normal and what we're comfortable with. But my prayer is that for all of us, for me, for all of us, there would be that gleam in your eye again that says, there's something here that's so much bigger than I've ever experienced that I want to go after experiencing. But the sheer madness of the simplicity of it all is that I don't have to perfect myself so that I'm postured to experience more favor. He postured me already to experience more favor by his perfect work on the cross. He said, well, then won't people just walk around in sin and think they're going to be in favor? No. It makes you want to seek more. It makes you want to make yourself so available to him, so yielded and surrendered, because you, the life that Jesus lives, if I'm taking over half the time and I don't get to experience the life that he lives, I can only know the favor he has, lives under, to the degree that I'm allowing him to experience, live through me, the life that he lives. So I want to be more yielded. I want to be more surrendered. I want to go for all that. That's not perfecting myself. That's just like going, wow, it's all true about me. What's his is mine. It's true. I can know that. I can know what it is for the Father to say yes to everything I ask in Jesus' name. And I don't have to do anything to get that other than believe it, other than to discover, search out all that's mine and then believe it. That's it. But in doing that, you'll be amazing how you'll more transformed into the experience of the life that he lives. So this verse in Galatians. So for those of you who come to the Wednesday night study, you get to hear Galatians several times because we'll do little bits and pieces during the week. But he's talking about the difference between law and grace and what the law has accomplished. And this is the New American Standard. It says, now I say as long as the heir is a child, he does not differ at all from a slave, although he is owner of everything. But he's under guardians and managers until the date set for his father. So also we, while we were children, spiritual children, speaking of while we were still under the law, were held in bondage under the elemental things of the world. The elemental principles of the world is, if you'll achieve enough, you can receive more. But the gospel of grace says you've received all so that you can go achieve. You're equipped now. And then he goes, but when the fullness of the time came, God sent forth his son, born of a woman, born under the law, so that he might redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive our inheritance as sons, as children of God. And because you are children of God, God has sent forth the spirit of his son in our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Therefore, you're no longer a slave to performance, but a son. And if you're a son, then you're already an heir through God. Now, I love what this version says. Now, we are no longer living like slaves under the law, but we enjoy being God's very own sons and daughters. And because we're his, we can access everything our Father has, for we are heirs of God through Jesus the Messiah. If you're an heir, it means you have access to everything. Not because of anything you've done, but because you're an heir. You were born into it. You didn't work towards it. You were born into it. Again, the gospel, grace, the gospel says because of the finished work of the cross, we're included into the life that Jesus lives and the favor that he lives under. Jesus said, all things that the Father has are mine. Says the same thing about us because we're in Christ. We've made it so complicated. I've told this story before, but so bear with me. But I love the principle. One of the great preachers of centuries past was a man named Charles Spurgeon. He's from England. And every week he would also, he had thousands of people came to church. I think it was like 6,000 or 7,000 in London. And every week there'd also be some people who'd get saved because a lot of lost people came into the church off the streets of London. But he had a lot of seminary students also that trained under him. And so every now and then he would give them a chance to preach. And so he gave one a chance to preach. And the seminary student had a great sermon, and he gave an invitation. And not one person responded to say yes to the gospel. And afterwards, Spurgeon is congratulating him on the sermon. And there's a bunch of people standing around. And this young preacher says, "But I'm just so troubled that nobody responded to the gospel when I gave them the chance." And Spurgeon said, "You don't expect people to get saved every time you preach, do you?" He says, "Well, no." He says, "Well, that's why they don't." The point is that true faith, childlike faith, I don't know if you hear about children, the worst thing you could have done for my children, especially my oldest, is to let them know beforehand you're going to do some surprise, like we're going to go do something, take a trip to Birmingham, spend the night, whatever. But we're not going to let them know beforehand, because every minute it'd be like, are we there? Are we going? They live with such expectation. But adults, it's as if they've been disappointed so many times in life, they don't expect anything because they're bracing themselves for bad news. But if I live under the same favor that he does because I'm in him, shouldn't I live with an expectation? Could that be that little thin line that you cross over into where you begin to see more, experience more? See, I've always thought, I've always believed that the difference between experiencing all that he has, living under that kind of favor, where he says, "Anything you ask in my name, I'll give it," not enjoying that, and enjoying that is not like some big thing that you got to cross over this huge gulf. Again, where you're having to perfect yourself more to posture yourself for that. I've always believed as a childlike sinking into the truth that he's already postured me for that because of the perfect thing he's done. It's just like right there. It's just a childlike step into absolute daring expectation. I love this. "Therefore, you are no longer a slave, but you're son or daughter. If you're a son or daughter, you're an heir and have full access to everything the Father has because you're in Christ. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen."